Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
For giving me this opportunity to discuss with us. I think so much has been said about, I don't know if I have anything to say about my history again. The pastor knows it so well. But it's okay, let me just try and paraphrase. Okay, I'm an indigenous of Benue State, graduated in 1996 with a second class upper honors in electrical electronics engineering. And, so, I studied engineering. Well, then in those days, if you are not doing medicine, pharmacy, accountancy, law, the next thing is engineering. So, and I was a science student, so I went into engineering. But the whole concept of electrical electronics, I didn't even understand. I mean, we're outside the university walls. I mean, that would make sense. But I went in anyway, it's engineering, so let me just study it. But I know that what I did was to try and grasp anything related to electronics as much as I could. So then we used to find ourselves going to meet roadside electronics people to learn how to do basic things like fault detection in radios, in televisions, and stuff like that. So we did a lot of that. You know, then we used to spend our monies to buy some of the items you need to do some of those things. So I learned as much as I could. I mean, I would just get any equipment, any electronics equipment, and study it, break it up into parts, and try to patch them up together. You know, I was just doing anything that would make me good at what I was learning. So I graduated in 1996 at the age of 23 and went to Kano State for my youth service. However, along the line, because of some of the things we do when we were younger, I've done practically everything you think in this life that is legal to make money. I've done, think about it. I've done it. I've sold petrol. I've done kabu kabu. I've done anything that brings money. So I was a bit overwhelmed with making money that somehow out of the blues, you know, the thought of being financially, you know, self-reliant just filled my head. So when I went for youth service, I made up my mind that I was going to be financially independent, you know. So there was something I did then, you know, like I wrote a letter to my parents and said, thank you for helping me out through school. From today, I don't need one naira of your money again. I want to be on my own. So don't bother sending money to me. I know a lot of you won't do that now. But I did it on purpose because I wanted to be me against the world. No help from anywhere around my parents. I wanted to sojourn it alone, me and God against the world. So I told my parents that, you know, don't bother sending me money. I want to be on my own. You know, that was to enforce my resolve to make money by myself with God helping me. So I went to Kano State. I did some funny stuff. I don't want to bother you with them now. You only laugh at me. Not bad things. So, like, I broke up a bike. I know I was going to need a bike to move around in Kano State. I disassembled the bike into parts, put them in sack, entered the lorry, and went to Kano. Arrived Kano, assembled it into the bike. And that was what I was using. You know, I told myself I would do small kada. I could do anything. I could do anything. So I was doing Okada. Then I was teaching from one house to another, you know, and all that, just to make ends meet. So when I went for his service, the first job I got was a job of a computer instructor in a private school. And then I used to tell myself that I don't want to be, you know that scripture that says, I don't want to be too rich and then, you know, disobey God or do something bad. You know, I just want enough to just get out for myself and all that. So I told God, I said, I need just a job of 5,000 naira. It's okay for me. And you know what you say, God will give it to you. The first job I got was 5,000 naira job. But the job didn't get me anywhere. Because when I'm in church, and there's a need in the church, and people need to now contribute or maybe do something to make sure the need is met, I found myself, incapable. So I told God, I said, this prayer I prayed was the wrong prayer. I think I need a better job so that me too can also help out, you know. So with time, I got the opportunity to sit for GTB exams. Okay, so in those days, they used to always, the exams are usually GMAT stuff. So it's engineers and, you know, mostly engineers that will make it because it's serious GMAT. You know, if you don't know your GMAT well, you will not pass the exams. I did it the first time. You know, after I did it, I didn't succeed the first time around. The second time, one of my pastors keeps saying, you know, she keeps reminding me that St. Paul had to go for his second missionary journey, so I should try it again. You know, so I did it the second time. I was successful, and I went in for a training for 6 months in Lagos. Now, the GTB is a learning institution. If you get the opportunity to join GTB, that's one institution I will guarantee to you will teach you. As in, after spending 6 months in GTB training school, they wiped my head completely of anything engineering, and everything left was marketing and banking. As in, you have all sorts of people from you know, all sorts of consultants come to teach you, and it's like earning another degree doing a training program, you know. But one thing they do is this. As soon as you resume the training school, they will ask you to write your objective in life. They will say maybe in the next 5 years or 10 years, where do you see yourself? That was a very major thing. They always do that. And when I had the opportunity, I wrote my objective. I said clearly that in 10 years' time, I want to run my own business. I don't want to continue. That is, I want to be in the bank, but in the next 10 years, I want to be running my own enterprise. That was what I wrote. You know, others wrote all sorts of stuff like that. But that was what I wrote and I submitted. And funny enough, I didn't know that that objective was going to drive my life. Because after the training school, and I resumed and started working. After 3 years, I was getting rapid promotions because as a Christian, I'd resolved in my heart that whatever I do, I will do it as unto the Lord. So I made sure that I learned the job well. I didn't joke with the job at all. I don't just do what I am assigned to do. Okay, I was assigned as a marketing staff, but I always go to learn some other things. I wanted to be a complete banker. So I would go to operations units and go and learn how do you do this debit and credit and all that and all that and all that. So I always wanted to learn everything, not just learn what I'm assigned to do. So I was getting rapid promotions every year. Every year they come and do, you know, assessment and then, you know, promote you. So in 3 years, just 3 years in Kano State, an opportunity came. That was when the new generation banks were asked to have a branch in every state capital to qualify as, what did they call it then? To qualify as a bank to other bankers, okay? You must have a branch in every state capital. So GTB then didn't have in a number of state capitals, like Kogi, like Benue, I think Nasarawa even. So, interestingly, we're very few from Benue State in GTB also, because GTB likes to recruit strategically. So I was one of the few, and I was nominated to go and start the branch. That is, there is no building. You will supervise the building, you will recruit the staff, and you will start operations as a branch head. You understand? You oversee the staff, make sure you keep the cost, your cost within your profit, and of course, break even. So that was how I was transferred to Benue State just after 3 years to go and head a branch. If not for God, I didn't want to go. I felt inadequate, but I was just encouraged to go. But I went, and I didn't know God had moved ahead of me. And the door opened for me there in Benue State. I did a few things, and before you know it, GTB became the darling bank of the state. And every other thing is history, you know. So I kept getting promotions year after year till I became an assistant manager. I think my promotion was in June or so of 2006. But in October of the same year, that was also when Platinum Habib Bank was trying to, you know, they were now trying to change to PHB. So they wanted to bring in some professionals that have been doing things in other banks to come and, you know, bring in the culture. Because Habib was like more of a northern kind of bank, you know. So the culture was different from the kind of culture that they wanted to build. So they had to, you know, pick out people from the banks that they feel would take them to where they want to be. So that was how I was recruited again. And from an assistant manager, I was recruited as a full manager. So in 2006, full manager and branch manager. So I worked there, had an excellent relationship with the managing director at that time. Excellent relationship. That's part of what I do in all the banks anyway, in GTB too. I had an excellent relationship with the MD of the bank, Tayo Aderonukun, blessed him. You know. So in Bank PHB too, I built an excellent relationship with the MD, Francis Atuchi, at that time. You know. So we worked very well. I mean, he used to do some things out of the ordinary just to make sure work goes on, you know. And He could approve anything I asked him to approve, just with an SMS message. And he will now ask me to document it later. So that made my work very fast for me, because I could be discussing with the governor of the state and he said, hey, I need 1 billion naira. Can you make it happen? I'll tell him I can make it happen. And there and then I'll send a text to my MD and say, hey, an opportunity is here. That's the kind of bank we used to run in those days. And he will say, Andrew, go ahead. And, you know, I'll make it happen. So it opened up a lot of opportunities for me in the state, to the point that the bank began to award scholarships for indigents of the state. It was so sweet. But unfortunately, he was axed around, I think, 2008. Asked him, CBN asked him, because there were a lot of issues. That was when Intercontinental Bank and Shenick Bank, all of them had issues, so he was asked and sacked. So when he left the bank, it was that same 2008, I felt that I had achieved my objective. My objective was ringing in my head. I said 10 years, I spent 8 years. I was already feeling the pressure that I've achieved what I wanted to achieve. I'm now a regional manager, okay, supervising several states from Benue to Plateau State. So I felt I've risen to a level where I wanted. I've been able to save some money for myself, for me to go into private business. What am I still looking for and all that? Then, since he was also leaving at that time, I decided to leave, to move into private business. But when I left, some things happened in between, and the business didn't kick off so well the way I wanted. You know, I invested some monies with some guys that I was banking on. Those monies will keep me afloat until I'm on my feet. But unfortunately, their own business too went down. So I said, no, I have to go back. So I went back to Ecobank as an area manager, covering Benue, Nasarawa. No, Benue and Nasarawa, yes. But when I went back to the bank, I've tasted being outside the bank, so when I went back, it was not the same again. It was not the same. I was under serious pressure. I couldn't condone some things that maybe some of the directors would do. You know, I mean, I could challenge some bank directors, and they didn't, you know, like that. You know, they like workers to always be doing, licking their boots. But I tasted being an entrepreneur, so when I came to the bank, I couldn't take certain amount of this thing from them. So I spent just 6 months and I left. I resigned. I mean, resigning was not easy, because if you are earning over $1 million a month, to just walk away and go and start, you know, trying to fend for yourself is not easy. I've been earning over $1 million since 2006, a salary. In fact, Bank PHB did it in such a way that they were paying salaries to my wife and 2 children. That was the way they did it, because they wanted to retain their best staff. So even though my family were abroad, not even in Nigeria, they were crediting the accounts every month with good salary. I think my wife was whether 30,000 and my children 15,000. I had 2 children then. So it was so good. The salary was so good, but my objective was pushing me. And so before I got to, so EcoBank was 2011. So in about 11 years in banking, I think I threw in the towel and said, it's okay, let me go and start something for myself. You know, so I left banking. It was interesting because the first transaction I did as a businessman, just a consultancy transaction, I hit about 17 million and they paid me. I said, wow, that's like a year's salary that I've already made in one transaction. I said, so this outside work is better. Because if I can make the bank so proud that they are proud of me, it means I'm making so much money for them. So on my own, I should make more for myself. So I was encouraged to continue. It wasn't that rosy, you know, that was just one transaction, but at least it encouraged me to, that was on the right path, you know. So that's it. Now, to answer your question, I think preparing yourself is very important. Whatever you find yourself in, even if it's Bible studies, I mean, Bible knowledge that you came to school to read. Don't worry. It must not be engineering or accountancy or medicine. Whatever discipline, you know, you start with, the best thing is do it well, succeed. Don't go and get past degree or lower credit. Excel in it, that's number one. Excel in it. And gather everything that you can get concerning what you are studying. If it's Bible knowledge that you came to read, then I expect that you should master the Bible. I mean, that's what you came to read. Uh-huh. So whatever field of study, just be the best. Be the best. That's the thing. And then, any opportunity you get at learning one skill or the other around you, don't say this thing is not in line with what I'm studying. No, no knowledge is wasted. When I was a computer instructor, I remember then, before I went for my youth service, then that was when computers were coming, you know, the story of computers were coming, they were, you know, just like that. And we went deep into computers, as in, I could assemble a whole computer, if you get me the basic parts, assemble it, program it, install the software in a matter of a few hours. We studied the computer that way, so badly that I can disassemble the computer and assemble it back. I did a whole lot of that. I studied the computer like I was going to be another Bill Gates. So, I remember in that school, at that time, you couldn't find any book on computers. Even till today, you won't see study computer, this, that, so easily like that. So, I was working with a white man as a principal. You know, white men are very pragmatic. The man said, Andrew, we don't have any resource, something to assess the students on or for them to learn. Why don't you understand computers so much, why don't you write a book on computers? I said, really? He said, yes. And I went ahead. I wrote a book. Not small pamphlet, though. The book is over 80 or 60 pages of book. I wrote it, I printed it, and I sold it to the school. Just for the school use. Now, why is this story important? When I went to GTV interview, after talking, the man said, how can you assure us that you are innovative? You are, you know, you could make things happen, you know, like that. I said, yes, I'm so sure. He said, can you prove to us? I had a copy of the book with me. And I showed him, I said, I'm working here. I was still working there. I said, I'm working in this place. They had no book on computers. I wrote a book and I printed it out for them. So that's to show that I can make things happen even if there is none. The guy said, wow, that's good. That was where the interview ended. So what I'm saying is, any skill, any opportunity you find to learn something outside even what you are studying, just go ahead. Go ahead and learn it. No knowledge is wasted. You never know where that skill will be useful to you in life. And let me also say this, that at first degree level, whatever you are studying, is just to open up your mind. It's not for any other thing. Just open up your mind. See, today I have not used my electrical engineering certificate for anything. Not at all. I have not seen resistors and transistors on the streets. I have not seen them anywhere. Yes. All the integral and all the things, I have not seen it anywhere. Okay, the certificate is lying in the box. But the mind has been opened up. So whatever you are studying, biology, chemistry, whatever it is, just allow, relax, study it well, come out well, and grasp every skill you can get around you, you know, because, you know, you never know where it will be useful. Okay? It will just open up your mind so that you can take up opportunities. All right? So that's what the first degree does. It's you may never really use it in life. I don't know where I will use electrical electronics engineering in this life again. Yeah? But I've gone into more of marketing, marketing and customer service. Yeah? So that's it. Well, like I said, it is good for you to go for courses that are relevant in the now and in the future. Okay? Right? But that is speaking, how do I put it now? What is more important is for you to, whatever you find yourself learning, just learn it well. Because if I say go for computer science, well, everybody cannot be studying computer science. Yeah. Yes, maybe later the student of computer science can switch into things like data sciences and stuff like that. You know, but technology is the way. But you won't force everybody to read science. That's the thing. You can't say everybody be a science student. In fact, by now, it's late because they have graduated as either arts students or science students. So if you are arts, you go for arts subjects. If you are science, you go for science subjects. But the truth is, as life unfolds, you have an opportunity to actually go and read whatever you like. That's the truth. And there's no hurry. You have just like me, I'm back to school, isn't it? I'm 50, but I'm back to school. Yeah, so if I want to study medicine, I can go in for medicine. That is if it makes sense. You understand? Yeah. So, but reality is different from, people can stay and just speculate, go and read this, do that. But the truth, like I'm saying, I read engineering, I've not done anything with this certificate today. Okay? So, but that's life for you. That's life for you. Making your course through life can take you a lot of places that has nothing to do with what you study. So the important thing is getting a solid foundation, like I said. Whatever you find yourself studying in school. You know, because what you study in school is a function of a lot of things. They will say, Jam did this, Jam did mark well, this one, that one, cut off did that, university, positions are filled. So they give you what they like. No problem. Study it. Make the best out of it. You know. Like I said, gather skills around yourself. It's very skilled. It's so important. Gather skills that you can get. You know, like the guy is doing all these wonderful things in the church. You never know where this will take you to. You know, you may just find out. Some of you, that may just be your business in life. Yeah, that may just be your business in life. So, or maybe what you go and study later may just be an improvement over what you are doing now. And things like that. So whenever you see the skill, pick it. If you see driving skill, pick it. Don't say, I'm too young to drive. Or my father doesn't have car. Doesn't matter. Just pick it. Because the first interview you may go for, they may just ask you, do you know how to drive? You say no. That's the end of it. Okay? So pick whatever skill you can pick around. Marketing skill, pick it. You know, and so on. You never know where that will lead you to. Say, like I was moving from bank to be a businessman. I considered, yes, I had the education and then the skill. Yeah, I by that time I had not been a businessman before, but I've been picking little things when I was younger. You understand? I've done several businesses when I was younger. So I felt that was enough tutelage for me to also, you know, dive into becoming a businessman. So skill and education is very, very important. Do you have the skill and the education for that new career? If you don't, then you have to go and that is when you go through all the skill you've been able to gather while you were growing up and all that. If you don't have that skill, then you have to go and learn the skill or gain the education. Because if you go and start something that you lack the skill and education for, it will be very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. That is why you see even most bankers or most people, after working for several years, are unable to transit from that work to whatever they want to do. A lot of them have never tried business in their life, and they think that they can just put money and business to begin to work. It doesn't work that way. You must have done some little bits of business in the past as you are growing up. That's going to help you, because business has its own culture. He has his own, etiquette, yeah? Etiquette of waking up early in the morning to go and open your shop, okay? That is something you should have learned that before. If you've never learned to leave your house, go to your shop and open it in good time for customers, and you think that after you work for some years, you can just resign and go and start, you will be so frustrated. Okay? So little things like that will help. So that's something you learn. You must get those skills, get those the education right before you think of switching. If you don't have it, you better slow down and respect yourself. Go and get the skill. If not, you'll be frustrated. Yeah, you'll be frustrated. Do it well. That's my cardinal goal. Yeah? Do it well. I You know, that, I think that for me, you know, is just top chart. Do it well first, you know. Then secondly, what else? Of course, relationship is very key. That one you can't put it aside. Relationship is key. What else will I say? You have the skill, you have the education, you know, you put in all you can. You know, putting in all you can is not just hard, it's not just labor, it's not just hard work. But, you know, being smart, it's about being smart in what you do. Okay? You relate with your bosses, you relate across with your subordinates well. Yeah, you network with people, okay? Yeah, but very, very important is that you must put in your best, and you must do your best in such a way that, you know, there's a way you can be doing your best, but nobody else is seeing it. Yeah? So, but if you want to succeed in your career, you must put in your best and do it well in such a way that every other person is seeing you doing it well. It's not eye service. It's not eye service. Yeah. Like in the bank, for instance, you don't close before your bosses. What are you closing to go and do? Is it only you that is that has other things to do in the house? All right? So you must wait till they are all gone before you can leave. That's one of the signs that you are serious at what you do. Not that you just wait, they are not looking at you, you disappear. You know? And like that. When they know that that's your attitude, then nobody will take you serious. Okay? You know, some little things like that. They give you what to do, you do it immediately, and you deliver it. Alright? So, meeting your targets. If you have targets to achieve, you meet them. Okay, I'm not talking about bank targets. That's a different ball game altogether, even though it's part of it. Yeah, but they could just give you a memo to write. And, you know, you write the memo and it's on your boss's table before he knows it. Not the one that he will call you first before he say, I'm coming. You now bring it. You are not serious. Okay? So you deliver at the right time and stuff like that. So when you are doing things like that, everybody is seeing it. When it comes to recommendation, you will be the first they will recommend. They will say, this guy meets his deadlines, you know, and the character is good and blah, blah, blah. Okay, it's so important to have an objective. If you don't have an objective in life, you'll just be a floater. You're floating here and there. All right? I had an objective, and the objective kept me in check. You know, I knew exactly what I wanted. I was not bamboozled by the fat salary and all that. You know, and your objective, of course, is a function of your purpose in life. Yeah? Okay. As a Christian, your objective has to be in line with your purpose. I remember that why I so wanted to leave the bank was part of the reason was He didn't give me enough time. So, from day one, I've made up my mind that after I've been able to save some money for myself, I'll be out of that place, you know. So, So your objective will guide you so that you don't float, you know, just change job just for changing sake. No. You it's good for you to build a career. I've been able to build a career in banking. In fact, that's the only one I've built. You don't move from here to there, do different things. Doing so many things does not guarantee that you succeed. Yeah, but you can stay in one place, build a career, achieve what you want to achieve, you know, and then you can now shift to another one if you want to, and you still have the time. Yeah? So you don't go testing different careers, you know, looking for the one that, if you have a goal, if you have a purpose, you already know from your objective that you've set for yourself. You already know from point A where you are going to. When it is time, you know where you are going to, and you prepare yourself for it. Okay? What else did I want to say? Yeah, so it helps you, it guides you, even in, so that you know if you need to upgrade your skill, your education, to be able to transit to the next career. It gives you time, you know, you have all the time and the focus to build on it, prepare yourself, and things like that. So, objective is very, very important. If you don't have an objective as a grown-up person, you should write. And the objective is not just something you think in your head. I had to write it down and visit it once in a while to read it and say, okay, how well am I doing, you know, and things like that. But the truth is, if you have a well-thought-out objective, unconsciously, it starts to work in your system. And before you know it, it will be driving you. That's the truth. Just like mine did to me. I didn't even realize it. But it put me under so much pressure, you know, that I had to do what I said. Otherwise, I had no peace, you know. So it's good. I remember even before I started working in the bank, I had an objective that at the age of 30, I'll be a millionaire. I didn't know where it came from. It just filled my head. It filled my head to the point that I had to write it down. At the age of 30, I'll be a millionaire. And I defined it that a millionaire means that I have 1 million naira cash, at least in my account. I didn't know where it came from, but I was working towards it. I was not killing myself to achieve it. I was doing the normal things I was doing, but I had that objective. I said I must achieve this objective. The truth of the matter is, of course, when I started working in the bank, I forgot about that objective. It became very small, you know, because if I want to achieve it, all I needed to do was spend less than a quarter of my salary every month and save the remaining, and I will achieve it at the end of the year. So I forgot about it. It became too small because I'd gone beyond it. Because within that period, I got married. Remember, I told my parents not to help me out. So I sponsored myself all through. I got married, did everything all by myself. So it became a smaller objective for me. But you can have, so you can set goals for yourself, achievable goals, you know, use the SMART principle. So it should be simple, it should be measurable, achievable, relevant, and then time bound. Yeah. So use the SMART concept. Set a goal. If you don't have a goal, it's At your age, if you don't have a goal for yourself for the next 5 or 10 years, you'll be floating. Somebody will invite you for a weekend in Akwanga, and you start going. And things like that. You'll just be floating everywhere. You'll be wasting your time. So, as a young person, have a goal for yourself. It helps you to stay in check. So you don't just float around. You spend your time wisely. Learn the skills that you learn, knowing that you have a target to achieve. Okay? So once your smaller goals, are achieved, you set bigger goals for yourself like that, and you keep moving.
Question is, when we enter university, we come with our courses of interest, and then we want to pursue that course. But for some people, in the long run, they begin to lose interest in that course because, like you said, it broadens our minds, and then we begin to see that, okay, we have, like, there are some people that won't want to do the regular 9-to-5, people that want to do entrepreneurship, and then it might be something like, let's say it's a science student now, they want to do an arts-related thing, like maybe they want to open their own business, or they want to go into music, or they want to go into something arts-related. So if it is someone that is still under their parents, and if it's someone that they still don't know how to stand up for themselves, how do they manage balancing their current university life and the field that they actually want to pursue without shortchanging themselves for either one?
A very interesting question. What you are saying is like you are in school reading law, for instance, and then while you are in school, you also have the interest of being a musician, something like that. Okay. Like we've said, what you study in school is meant to broaden your knowledge, expand your knowledge, you look at life differently and all that, and positions you to take up opportunities. Yeah, so there shouldn't be a crisis, there shouldn't be a conflict in between what you're studying and what you really want to do. Because the truth is, what you are studying is opening you up to opportunities. So, if you already have a passion, to do something else, let that passion wait. Finish the education, all right? Finish it well. Okay, if you want to be a musician and you are studying law, for instance, I mean, the law, when you are called to bar, for instance, you become your own lawyer and you're a musician, so you'll be signing, making your contracts and signing it yourself. You don't need a lawyer anymore, isn't it? Yeah, so that shouldn't be a conflict. It's because in life, you see your education, your talent, your passion, where again? Education, your passion, your talent, those are all areas you can benefit from. Okay? And now, you could work with one or two at the same time, all right? Or one after the other. Okay? Those are all areas, like, you could benefit from your education. You studied law and you are now a lawyer. Okay? That is, you are benefiting from your education. Now, you could have a talent, maybe you can sing, yeah? Yeah, and you become an artist, all right? And that one, you may not need to go and get a certificate from the university. You could just become an artist and fend for yourself, okay? Or you have a passion doing something, all right? You could follow that and also succeed in life. So all these are areas that can give you, that can give you, employ you, things like that. So, but there shouldn't be a conflict. They cannot work together. Whatever you find yourself studying, you understand? You know, even for somebody that read law and all of a sudden they say, hey, I wish I could be a doctor. Oh, beautiful. You could go and study your medicine later and then the two of them can work together because you are a lawyer and you are a doctor. So you don't need a lawyer anymore because you are a lawyer. Yeah, so they can also go together. So that conflict shouldn't be there, but take your time. First thing first. If it's the education you started first, follow it through. Come out very well, and then, you know, you can continue with your passion. Okay, when I said I felt I was not ready for it, was me looking at myself, not how others were looking at me. Yeah? I felt I was too young to take up that opportunity. Yeah? But that was just me looking at myself. That was not how those that recommended me, that was not how they were looking at me. So that's very important. It's different if you are scheming to get something and you are not qualified for it. It means that even those people, truly, if you are not scheming, they would have known that you are not also qualified, yeah? Uh-huh. So when I realized that it was just me looking at myself, I had to encourage myself in the Lord. Because I told myself that, well, I think God has been helping me thus far. So I believe it's God that is sending me, you know. And the director that is an unbeliever, a Muslim, was recommending me. So, I mean, why should I be saying no to it? I just felt that I just had to, how do I put it now? I had faith in God. That's just it. I had faith in God. And during my, I want to say something, that my faith in God when I was younger is stronger than it is now. Yeah, I have to just say that, you know, I used to hold that faith very, very dear when I was younger, because then it was as if it's just you against the whole world. It's still the same, yeah? But I must confess that the faith was stronger then. It's the confession, it was really stronger. As in, I just believed God for his word. I said, well, you know, I'll move on. You know, he'll be there, he'll be going ahead of me and prepare the place for me. So I just moved on. That's just the truth. Nothing more than that. So if you find yourself in such a situation, as a Christian, you just encourage yourself. Number one, I didn't lobby for it. I didn't know where it came from. It just came. In fact, I'm even trying not to go. You understand? Uh-huh. I felt that I was in a comfortable place where I am, you know. So why move to a new place, especially moving home? That was me moving home. Uh-huh. So I know what moving home to do, closer to home, what it looks like. Uh-huh. Village people will be nearer to you and so on. So I had a lot of things in my head then, but I just told myself that God that provided the opportunity will see me through. And that was just all, nothing more than that. And I just, You know, sometimes when opportunity comes like that, you dive into it. You dive first. Then you start asking yourself that who pushed you into the crocodile pond, isn't it? You know the story.
Okay.
That is story for another day. When you see an opportunity like that, dive with God. Then when you have dived into the pond, start asking that who pushed you into the pond. All right. Thank you.
That is what you're saying is you are working somewhere, right? You are not financially stable yet. Yeah, first of all, I will ask what that person is doing. Is it a career? Is it something that has opportunities of growth? Because if it's all these jobs that you stay in one salary for 10 years, 20 years, you don't know whether you are growing or not, then you are wasting your time. That one you are wasting your time. You may not necessarily leave that for business, because the truth is you are not prepared for business. Okay? You may leave that and go for another job. In choosing job, very important. Choose a job that has a growth path. Don't go and choose a job that they'll be paying you 100,000 from now to eternity. For such a job, it will be difficult to have an objective where you will be in the next 5 or 10 years. You'll be in the same place. Yeah, because it's the same salary. You have no opportunity of saving money. You have no opportunity of growing along the ladder, okay? You understand? So in picking your first job, hear me well. Don't go and pick the job because they say they are paying this. Does that job offer you a growth path? Does that job offer you an opportunity to how do I want to put it? Yeah, for you to scale up, yeah? And for you to be able to drive your objective. Because the truth is, you will never be truly satisfied working for somebody. Once they jack up the salary, you want more. Once they jack it up, your expenses catch up with you and you want more. Okay? So, at the end of the day, everybody should be an entrepreneur, because you are never satisfied with the job. The salary can never give you satisfaction. But when you are running your own business, even if you are getting half that salary, you could get better satisfaction. Yeah? So, while I'm not advising anybody to leave his job and go and start business, because you have to be prepared for business life before you go into business too. But I'm also saying that you will never get that satisfaction unless you are running your own business. But having said that, make sure when you are getting it, that's why you should have an objective. If you have an objective, it will direct you on the first job you will do for somebody. That job must have a growth path, defined growth path. In 2 years' time, I'll be here. In 3 years' time, I'm here. In 4 years, so with that, it's okay. In 10 years, this is where I will be. Yeah? And after that time, I want to move to this. So you'll be able to design an objective for yourself. Okay?
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.